Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago in a post-game episode. After the loss at Cleveland, I have brought in from the bullpen, Paulie G from the NBA Index. How you doing, brother? Come on in and let's have a get on the bus and let's have a post-game discussion.
Yeah, yes. See, Red Fred, it's a pleasure to be here. I will do my best to do the Podfather a justice, you know, big shoes to fill. I'm honored to be sitting in his chair, though. Ready to go.
Yeah, so DT and I, everybody just heard the episode we recorded just before this game, and now we're witnessing the results of this game, discussing the results of this game. Unfortunately, a Bulls loss tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So your initial impressions, Paulie, about, you know, the reasons why we lost, what are some of the, just your general feedback on the game?
I think we got outplayed by everybody. I think the whole team sucked today. It was an ugly game. I wonder if it had anything to do with, like, were they exhausted after the back-to-backs? The Spurs was the second one. Was the Warriors, then Spurs. Back-to-back games and having to fly to Cleveland, the shitty weather. I don't know what it was, but they obviously were not ready to play. They got out-coached. They got outplayed. It was ugly to watch. It was kind of embarrassing. I'm just glad that it wasn't on national television because I think they're playing the Raptors soon, and that's going to be on TNT or ESPN. I'm so glad that this game wasn't.
Well, I got to say, I thought two guys played really well. Io, again, put up a really nice game.
Yeah.
He had 10 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 for 2 from the three-point line, 3 for 3 from the free-throw line. In only 19 minutes, he was a +6, led the entire team.
Yeah. Good point.
And Andre Drummond, again, another rock-solid game.
Definitely.
8 points, 10 rebounds, 3 for 3 from the field, 2 for 4 from the free-throw line. He's never been a good free-throw shooter in only 22 minutes, and he was also a +4. Every other player on the team was a minus, including Zach LaVine, DeRozan, minus 18, minus 17, respectively. Even Kobe White was a minus 12. Yeah. Just real disappointing effort, real disappointing shooting. Zach shot the ball pretty well. He had a 17-point, 4-rebound, 4-assist game, 7 of 14, 50% from the field, 50% from three. But he didn't get to the line at all, and that's Achilles' heel, this team. The team never gets to the line. And he was a minus 18 with 3 turnovers. Everybody in the starting lineup, but Kobe White had 7 turnovers.
Unreal.
DeRozan had 2. Caruso had 2. And Vucevic had 2. So just the overall, just a really poor game for the entire team. Offensive rebounds, there's only four guys that got offensive rebounds today. It was Kobe White had 1, Drummond had 3, Javon Carter had 1, and Io had 1. It just got killed on the offensive boards.
Jared Allen,
we weren't able to counter with extra,
Jared Allen.
Extra possessions. He's one hell of a rim protector, one hell of a defender.
He's great.
So what say you on any of those players? Did you want to comment on those players?
Yeah, I did, actually. I'm glad you brought up Drummond because we both love Drummond, and we both want him to get a little bit more playing time. We see Vooch differently, but we both love Drummond, and I wish he probably played a little bit more. It was interesting that Billy went to the double big lineup because we were getting crushed in the glass. And if you recall, in that late third quarter when we made that run, we cut it to single digits. That was with Vooch and Dre together, 4 or 5. We weren't getting out rebounding. We made that run. We were down double figures for the entire second quarter and into the third, and that was the lineup that got us back a little bit into the game. But I think part of that was just that Donovan Mitchell was on the bench for a big part of that.
Good call.
So I don't know. It could have been fool's gold. But either way, you and I both agree. I think that we'd like to see Dre get a little bit more minutes. And you know what? And, he had a tough last couple of games. The Spurs game wasn't so good for Dre. And I think the Warriors game, he struggled. So it's good to see him come out of it and Billy just continue to show confidence in him. Because I'll tell you what, he's going to be a free agent. He's on his last year. He's either, if they don't think they could re-sign him, he's probably, every game he has, he's putting on a show to the league. For teams that need rebounding, he'd be an excellent, he's one of the best backup centers in the league, not named Isaiah Hartenstein, I think.
I absolutely think Oklahoma City should make a move to get him. They have plenty of draft assets that would be, and his contract is such a inexpensive, work of art that he'd absolutely help any team in the East or West that needs. You're going to have to, if you're going to go to win a title, you're going to have to go through Jokic, and they can't, and you need bigger heft. They're just not big enough right now, Oklahoma City, to beat Denver, I think, in a 7-game series, although they're a fantastic team. And then same Likewise in the East. I mean, you got to go through Embiid, or likely will have to go through
Right.
Embiid and, Porzingis. So he can absolutely help out with that, and he's got a very manageable contract. He's been great. I thought he, every game, I mean, I know you mentioned he didn't play well against the Spurs, still had 11 rebounds in 16 minutes. He's just a rebounding
He's a
machine.
machine. It's
And I've
unreal.
always been impressed with his effort. And today, especially, when he was in there, he was doing a lot of great, I thought, help defense. Like, he's the one kind of quasi-legitimate. He's not a great rim protector, but he's at least approaching that where no one else on a team does. And he had a great block today that was reversed on a originally called as a foul. But I noticed on the baseline, he was really helping, getting back out to the three-point line, really hustling. I love the guy. I think he's a really rock-solid player. And, I understand the theory of what Vooch should be, and there's no doubt that even with his poor shooting at 28% this year from three, probably lower after his 1-for-7 effort tonight, he's going to stretch the floor more than Drummond. There's no denying that. But when Vooch is like not hitting the three like this, like I still feel like Drummond is the better answer. He's a better rim protector. He draws far more fouls. He's I understand he's the hub of our offense, our 24th ranked offense, Vooch, and we're working everything around through him, but
Are we still
I just don't see
24th?
it. I don't, when
Are we
he's
still
not,
24th right now? Gee whiz, that looks,
yeah, an
that's
efficiency.
rough.
Yeah, unfortunately, still 24th. So I mean, hey, Vooch, I don't
Yeah,
want to beat
we don't
that
have to get
horse.
into it.
Like, I know we're both different. We have different opinions of his value. I never said he was a bad player. I just don't think he's very good, and he's clearly aging. I think he would agree pretty quickly with that assessment that he's definitely slowing down. And today was just another example, just a complete lack of rim
Yeah,
defense.
he got smoked, and I wasn't even the rim defense. I was just on the defensive rebounding. He ended up with 10 defensive rebounds, but he wasn't. I mean, he got. If you're watching the game, you saw that he could not keep Jared Allen off the glass. Like, it was very, very clear. And it's not all on Vooch. The guards got to step in. A lot of those are long. Those are long rebounds because a lot of them were threes, missed threes. But Vooch got he got outplayed by Jared Allen, who I think. Allen and Vooch, in my opinion, are around somewhere in that 10 to 13, 11 to 15 ranked center, starting center in the league. And you know what? Jalen Allen just outplayed him. And he also outplayed him earlier in the season. So he's making a case, man, to rising in the ranks of starting centers in this league. And I was very, very impressed with them. And you know what? The Cavs did this without two of their three best players in Evan Mobley and Darius
Yeah,
Garland.
two of their
It's
starters
so
off.
it's a good.
I'm not a fan of
Yeah,
Garland.
you've said that before. That's
Go
actually, I want to. I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
I don't think Garland and Donovan Mitchell are a good pair together. It's not because Garland's a bad player, but defensively, I think he's so bad. He's just an undersized guard, and so is Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's a better defender than Garland. I think Garland is an extremely weak
Yeah.
defender who's always susceptible to pick and roll. We saw that in the playoffs. So I've always been a fan. Well, there's no doubt about it. Okoro is the best, according to the team, according to their coach. He's their best on-ball defender on the
For
team.
sure.
So when you have a guy like that who's much better defender, he could take the harder assignment today. They had him on DeRozan for the most part, but he's taken LaVine in the past. He's just a better answer for these other guards. And I think especially now with Mobley out, that's why you haven't seen him lose like many games. I think they're 7 now. That's 8-3 in their last
They're
11.
good, man.
They have been playing really well. It's 5 in a row tonight, all without Garland, all without Mobley. So, yeah, and I agree with you completely on Jared Allen. Like, most people would say Jared Allen is probably far better defensively than Vooch, but Vooch is better offensively.
Not
Tonight,
tonight.
Jared Allen's on 10 points, 14
Yeah.
rebounds, 3 assists, 4 or 5 from the field. Now, get this, here's the kicker. In 34 minutes, he was a plus 32. So he just absolutely kicked ass and 5 offensive rebounds. So, I mean, which is more, I think, than
The
the
entire
entire Bulls
Bulls,
team might be
right,
offering
the
that.
entire Bulls, he matched the entire Bulls team tonight. Today was a good, it
Yeah.
was a good, I guess, temperature today going up against the Cavs, because the Cavs are, they're a legitimate top one, top five team in the East, top four. I think their standings are, they're sitting in fourth right now, but I wouldn't be shocked if they make a run past Philly here soon, especially if they, when they get healthy. But the Bulls are in that next batch of teams, the Pacers, the Heat, the Knicks, the Magic, those guys. When you go up against the elite teams in Cleveland, you're gonna get smacked in the face, and it showed tonight how really far away they are at really competing against the best of the best, especially if they were to go in a 7-game series, you know?
I agree, which brings us to the next question. I mean, what do you do now? Like, Zach came back. One of the questions I had asked on one of my polls is kind of like a pulse for the fan base. I was kind of shocked at the results, which it was basically to the effect of, would you be upset if Zach is still on the team after the trade deadline? Or would you be happy if he was still or if he was moved? Would you be angry if he wasn't moved? And 60% of the people said they were fine with him remaining on the team. 40% said they would be angry if he was still on the roster. What say you to that question, since they have been playing better? I mean, at one point they were 3-0. I think they're 4-1 now, 4-2 with him since he's come
back.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I'm surprised at the 60-40 ratio there. I would say two things. I'm okay either way with him on the team or off the team, but he can't be on the team with DeMar. One of the two have to go. You can't have two all offensive wings that can't defend on this roster. I think that's been proven. Now the team has played well since Zach got back, but the team was playing well before Zach got back, obviously. So that doesn't really tell us much. But he's played well.
Well, they did lose 4-6 before he came back. In fairness,
well, yeah,
to
but
that,
they were all banged up.
Well,
Torrey Craig was
when
out.
He came back.
Was out. I mean, a lot of those guys were out. And in fact, hey, I'm not taking anything away from Zach. I'm just saying the team overall, when Zach went out, played better. Now Zach's come back and
for
he's
a period,
played, right? For a period, yeah. For a period. But Zach came back and he's helped the team. Let me ask you this: a couple months ago, you wanted to rebuild the whole team, trade everybody. You thought it was way past time for Acme to start the rebuild. Then Zach got hurt. The Bulls started to play well, and you're like, okay, maybe it's best to trade Zach and get something in return. But now you're saying he's been back for a handful of games, and now you're saying no, he's a keeper. So I mean, how cool, you know? Can
I'm
we
not
know?
Saying he's a keeper. I'm saying that I thought him and Kobe can be a very good backcourt together, and they've played as such in the games that since he's come back. Elite level, right? I think they fit on the offensive end. Defensively, they're not great, obviously, together. But I just think Kobe and Zach on the offensive end are an excellent fit. And I said a while ago, I think they have the ability of being like Portland East with McCollum and Dame, a poor man's version of that. And I think they're headed to that right now. But the team, in order to have those two guys as your lead guards, you really need to have a rim protector behind them,
right?
And they don't have anywhere near that approach on this roster. They haven't had it in several years. I guess Derrick Jones Jr. would probably consider a little bit of a rim protector. But, I mean, that said, they don't have anybody on the roster that's a really great rim defender. So
what do you think, then?
I agree with you to a certain extent. Like, all three of those guys, I'd prefer now that they move the 30 and over crowd. I do feel you could probably get more for DeMar just because his contract is less onerous and he's still playing at a really high level. But the disadvantage is he doesn't hit the three, and teams are always looking for shooting, especially the Lakers.
Right.
So there's advantages and disadvantages to moving either player. I don't think Vooch is tradable just with that third year, $20 million. I think if it was a two-year deal, you could have moved him to, you know, you've been a great fit with Oklahoma City, or maybe potentially a great fit with another team in the East that's going to have to go against the Sixers. But right now, I after a game like tonight, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth on this. You know, like before tonight, I would have told you, let's just run with it as is, because I don't think we're going to get anything for Zach LaVine that's deserving. Like, Zach LaVine is a good player, a very good player, but his contract and the collective bargaining changes to the collective bargaining agreement have really lessened his value, something we couldn't foresee, had no control over. And now he's got a contract that teams just don't want to take on board.
Right. And it's the
because
length.
They're afraid of that second.
Yeah. Number. I mean, that's a steep bill, man. And you know, you and I've talked about it before. It's unfair to say, oh, Zach's not a number one, but he could be he's definitely a number three. And he could be a number two on the right team. That said, he's being paid like a number one. And so teams have to have the cap flexibility to be able to take that on. And you're right. Here's the thing. I think DeMar is more tradable. I think I totally agree with you there, because he's on his last contract. And, you know, so there's teams, like he said, he'd go to the Knicks, he'd go to Miami, he'd go to the Lakers. all three of those teams, they're in the market. So I think they'll, and all three of those have draft picks that are expendable. So I think DeMar, that's my point, is you got to trade one of them. You can't keep them both. Because then Patrick Williams, his contract's up. He's going to be a restricted free agent. You got to think Acme's going to match whatever offer he receives. Drummond's on his last year.
You feel great about that?
About,
you feel great about paying him a lot of money? Patrick
Define
Williams?
A lot. I don't know.
$25 million a year?
No, not 25.
I think
he'll get 20.
I think the Pistons are going to pay him. You know, the Pistons are so dumb. I think it's possible with plenty of cap room. According to a lot of what I've been reading,
I saw that
they'd probably pay him.
Yeah,
25. Yeah, if it's like $25 to $30 million for like a 4 or 5 year contract for a guy who, you know, right now, I mean,
you wanted to talk about him,
right? Definitely improved this year.
Let's talk about him a little bit. You wanted to talk.
Yeah, let's talk about him. Let's talk about him because he's definitely taken a downward turn. I mean, he's injured, so that's likely part of the reason. But overall, for the year, averaging 9.8 points per game. Never gets assists, averaging on the year 1.6 assists, averaging only 3.6 total rebounds per game as your starting power forward. Excellent three-point shooter. Right now shooting 76% from the free throw line, never gets to the free throw line. Only 1.6 attempts per game, 1.5 attempts per game. Like, I don't know, man. I think he's a role player. I think, $20 million I'd be fine with, I guess, $20 to $25 million. But, anything above that, he starts getting – those are the kind of contracts that kill you.
Right.
Paying guys that are like fourth or fifth or just rotation players, 20-plus million.
We've learned anything. We're paying
– I don't know. What's
the
you?
Paying
what do you
one
think?
On the roster right now, Lonzo Ball, who I think, if he's healthy, he's worth every penny. But unfortunately, he's not healthy. My point is that it might be just the going rate for a 3-and-D player in today's NBA, which Patrick, in theory – certainly what the Bulls want would be is the 3-and-D player. I think he's still got potential. I think he's been banged up the last few games. I think it's been obviously sat out today. I think he was out against the Spurs as well. So he hasn't been himself. But
last game too,
right.
Yeah.
But, you've talked about it before. We've talked about it before. Like I hate when people say, yeah, but DeMar was holding him back. Yeah, Zach was holding him back. That's ridiculous because you can still do the little things. You might not get as many shots, but you could still do the little things. And Pat is, even though defensively, I think he's really good defensively. On the ball, of course, we both like him on the ball. Off the ball, you've never been a big fan. I think he's actually improved quite a bit off the ball this year. But separate from that, he's not a good rebounder. He cannot play the four. He just can't. He's not a good rebounder, especially with a team. Like maybe if you put him alongside Jared Allen, yeah, okay. Maybe he could play the four. But not alongside Vooch. You gotta have someone with a little bit more size, a little more heft, a little more rim defending. So Patrick's probably best at the three, where DeMar is. So that's another reason why I think DeMar is gone within the next month. And maybe they both are. Here's a question. I think it's important. If they trade both Zach and DeMar, and I'm not saying they should. I do think they should trade one of them. But if they trade both, do you think that that is Acme starting a rebuild? Or do you think they're still going to try to make the playoffs this year and continue building?
I don't think they'll think it's starting a rebuild, but the results will absolutely be a complete rebuild. Those are the only two guys that get to the free throw line consistently. They would be dead last by a mile in terms of attracting, drawing fouls and getting to the line and getting points from to the line. And I think the efficiency for this team offensively would plummet. It's already 24th in the league. I think you would see a massive, massive decline in the quality of this team. Like, who's going to garner a double team? I mean, I guess you could say Vooch in the post would, but and Kobe occasionally, but those are the only two guys that are really going to garner a double team. And I mean, right now Zach LaVine still garners a double team. Teams are still worried about him. And the scouting report, I would be willing to bet when you play the Chicago Bulls starts with
Zach,
either DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, and then there's like they talk about them for half an hour and they spend 5 minutes on. Take that back. Kobe White's up there now too. Definitely, he's emerged as a superstar. And then they spend about 10 minutes talking about Vooch, how to handle him, and when they throw the ball down low to him, and then just worry about Patrick Williams hitting threes, getting hot, can't leave him, and so I think you spend about 1 minute worrying about him. I think you really see a complete decline in the offensive efficiency of this team. I think it'd be a full rebuild on the way without these guys realizing it. I don't think they'll do that. I think they're going to keep DeMar. I think they respect him. And he is important to have that kind of vet in the locker room to help guide some of these
young
players.
But if they keep him, and I'd love to see him keep him, but at what price? And if they do, then don't they have to trade Zach? Because they have to get that money off the books in order to keep DeMar?
I think they'll probably have to trade Zach in order to keep DeMar, but I think they'll be probably willing to let him just walk at that point.
That's what I'm worried about.
Next year if he leaves. But honestly, it wouldn't be the end of the world. You got Williams ready to come in and take his place. I love DeMar DeRozan. I think he's very underrated as a player.
Yeah.
But this team's not going anywhere with him or without him. We got a lot of work to do.
That's so interesting.
And, you know, so hopefully that will start.
I thought you were turned, Fred. I thought you were a believer that this team, you know, they were definitely a playing team, obviously. But now that, you know, who knows?
But not if they trade one of those two guys.
So even if they trade just one rather than both, you don't think they got an outside? You don't think they're a playing team?
That's where we differ. I don't think they're a playing team. I think they're a terrible team if they trade DeRozan or Levine. Let me take that back. I think they're a terrible team if they trade DeRozan. I think they could probably survive for a while if they trade Zach, as long as Kobe keeps on hitting and playing at such a high level. But I don't think they might squeak in. If they trade both of them, there's no way. No way in hell. Because you won't put any pressure on a defense in terms of drawing fouls. It's like
you're probably,
one of the most underrated aspects of basketball is can you
totally
get to the line and get some free baskets at the line with the clock stopped. And I was just looking at that today. Like, it's an embarrassment how few some of these guys get to the line. I think DeMar has more made free throws than anyone else has attempts.
It's sad. Hey, man, I agree 100%. It's probably, you know, the scouts say that's one of the things they pay attention to most in college basketball. Players that get to the rim and get fouled, get those free points. That's why Tari Eason shot up in the NBA draft a couple years ago. It's because he gets the free throw line.
Right,
it's such an underrated aspect. It's free points, man. You gotta take advantage of that. And the Bulls really don't have anyone besides those top two guys that do it. But look at the East for a second, and we're almost at time here, so I'll wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Pistons, they're out for sure. The Wizards, they're out for sure. The Hornets, they're out for sure. The Raptors just traded OG. They're probably going to trade Pascal in the next 3 weeks. So they're probably out. The Hawks, apparently they're letting the whole world know that everyone's available, not named Trae Young and Jalen Johnson, they're probably one of the most disappointing teams. So, I mean, that's five teams that are basically saying, we're not going to make it this year. So that leaves 10 more teams in the East, which means the Bulls would, you know, if they're trying to make the play-in and the other teams are not, I think the Bulls make the play-in, even if they trade those two guys. So I don't know. You're probably right. I mean, obviously, they're going to be much worse without those guys, depending on what they get in return, of course. But
I agree with you that they're probably going to be 9 or 10. You know, Scotty Barnes and what's left of the Raptors is still probably going to be a competitive team. It's not like they started a rebuild in that trade with the Knicks.
Right, good point.
I don't expect them to do. They got some good players in return. They're only like after tonight. I mean, they're only like a game or two games behind us. Spurs and the Hawks, as much as you want to say about how bad they are, they're only half game behind us. So, you know, it's still entirely possible. I think we fall out of this. But I do feel like if I had to put money on it, we don't make any moves, we're going to be probably 8 or 9, and then we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But they're not getting to the second round. I think we're both in agreement.
Yeah,
on
they're
that.
Not getting
so
the
like,
round.
What are we doing?
No, we're not getting the second round.
You know,
it'll be interesting to see what Acme does. I still believe in them. I still believe in Billy, and I still think that they, you know, they have all their picks. I know the one they owe to the Spurs, but that one's protected, and also they have Portland's coming to them. So it's not like they've sacrificed a future. And you and I both love Kobe, and I think he's proven that he could be our point guard of the next 10 years. And they have some other pieces, so who knows? I'd like to see them continue to build the team without sacrificing the future. And you never know. You slowly but surely add pieces, but maybe as Will and your boy Mark always says, man, they're ready to tank and start the rebuild. So maybe that's the right thing to do. We'll see.
Jeez. I'm definitely not. Especially with these guys, because I don't have any faith in who they're picking. But that said, I think that probably is the best way to go. You know, right now, the way the team is looking, I also feel that's not the direction they'll go in.
Well
so
said.
They're gonna probably move Zach alone and try to get some assets in return for him and compete for the playoffs and see where it takes us. And that will likely be 8, 9, maybe even 10.
Ugh, ugly. We wanted improvement. We're not getting it.
Let's bring the BRB in, brother. Thank you so much for taking the time to go over this with me, talk about the beloved Bull. Any new stuff coming up on Chicago Bullseye at the under NBA?
Yeah, we're about halfway through the season now, so I think it's high time to put some recaps on each team. I'm going to do some All-Star picks. I'm also going to do just a quick blurb on each team, what they need, what they should be trying to go after, trades, pieces. Are they ready for a rebuild or not, et cetera, et cetera. So all that's coming this week, as a matter of fact, now that I'm back from holiday break.
Sounds good, brother, man. Looking forward to it. Until next time, let's go Bulls.
Thanks, E-Red Fred. Have a good night, buddy.